Thank you again to the devotees who have kindly expressed their concern for my health condition, seeing me lying down to give these talks. I must remind you that even though my condition is uncomfortable, it's not serious, and that our thoughts should really be with His Holiness Bhakti Charuswami, whose health, physical health condition is far, far more serious than my own. Now, moving into the 8th century of names of Sri Vishnu Sahasranama, that means we're starting with 701. In this verse that I'm speaking on, we've had the names Vasureta, Vasuprada, Vasudeva, and just after this we're going to have Vasumana. And this name 701, is just Vasu. So many of the meanings that we've come across in the previous names, we'll again be touching on these. Vasu gives the sense of residing, residence, vas, just like we have the word vasa, nivasa. A house can be a residence, vasa. So he resides in the heart of all living beings, and especially manifests himself within the hearts of his devotees. Vasu also, then he resides in the milk ocean within this universe. Then Vasu gives the sense of wealth, so he's the best kind of wealth that people seek after. Vasu also refers to a class of demigods, the 8 Vasus. So he is here in the form of the Vasus, residing again. He lives in everything, and everything lives in him. And names like that, meanings like this. This name has already occurred twice in Vishnu Sahasranam, as name 105 and name 271. In the first occurrence, Sri Parashara Bhatta comments that he is known as Vasu because he dwells within the hearts of his devotees. Now this, he resides in the heart of everyone, sarvastacaham hridi sannivishtaha, but especially he's manifest within the hearts of his devotees. Those who, he hides himself to those who do not want to see him, and manifests himself to those who do want to see him. And this, of course, brings to mind the Sri Brahma Sanghita verse, the ecstasy of Lord Brahma, who stated, Primanjana churita bhakti vilochanena santasa daiva hridyeshu vilokayanti yang shyamasundaram achintya guna swarupam govindamadi purusham tamaham vajami. Brahmaji worships the original person who is Govinda, Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And in this verse he says that this Govinda is seen within the heart of those devotees whose eyes are tinged with the salve of love. He's seen in the form of Shyamasundara, blackish and very beautiful, with his transcendental form composed of inconceivable transcendental qualities. But, Parashara Bhatta and others commenting here that even those with a little devotion, he's very pleased to reveal himself to, because he is, again coming to Brahma Samhita, Videshu Durlabham, Adurlabham Atma Bhakta. Of course, the Sri Vaishnavas don't quote this, but there are these verses of Brahma Samhita, they reflect and summarize the statements of many shastras and many devotional literatures from all the devotional traditions. So even though it's hard to find him in the Vedas for many people, but he is sulabha. He's very easily available to those who are his devotees. So he wants to make himself available to, and who will he be available to his devotees? As we've heard Srila Prabhupada say, that, or Srila Prabhupada is quoted as saying, that if we take one step toward Krishna, Krishna takes 10 steps towards us. He's more eager for us to go back to Godhead than we are ourselves. So if we take a little step, he's very anxious to come close to us. Ramanujan, commenting on this, states that if someone counts numbers and they go 1, 2, 3, 4, when they come to 26, he thinks, "Oh, that's me," because in the Sankhya in the theistic Sankhya philosophy, there are the 24 tattvas, or the constituents of the material world, and the 25th is the Atma, and 26th is Paramatma, Krishna. And similarly, it gives an example. If someone is just talking about geography and different hills, and in the course of saying that he speaks Tirumalai, the residence of the Supreme Lord, where Srinivas Balaji resides, then he becomes very pleased and rushes to the side of that person, even if he's not being particularly devotional. But just somehow or other he mentions the residence of the Lord. And therefore we find that the Indian culture is Vedic culture is so glorious, because people's names are given, people give their children names like Krishna and Lakshmi, and even if referring to non-devotees, we may say the name of Krishna because they have such a name, just like we have Krishnanaga in West Bengal, near to Mayapur. That's not named after the Supreme Personality of Godhead. It's named after a king who is called Krishna, but Krishna, the king, was named after the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So one way or other, we get the name Krishna, and Krishna becomes very pleased when he says that name. In this regard, Baladev Vidyabhushan, commenting here, says, quotes, "Yatra gayanti madbhakta tatra tishthami Narada." O Narada, I reside. Remember the name Vasu, reside. Where does he reside? He resides, or I stay, tatra tishthami, where my devotees are glorifying me. Wherever they're doing kirtan. In the previous verse, Parashrabhata said that he's called Vasu because he has the great wealth who is sought after by people who are connoisseurs of wealth. One Vasudeva Sarvamiti, Samahatma Sudurlaba. One who searches after Vasudev, that person, and actually finds him, that person is a very great personality. So he is the wealth who's sought after by exalted people to the exclusion of all other wealth. The Dharma Chakra, there's one commentator, Dharma Chakra writer, he doesn't give his name. He gives the example that just like in this material world, we're like children who are playing with toys and forgets the mother, becomes so absorbed in that. But really our relationship is with the mother and not with the toys. So in the same way, our relationship is with Krishna and not with anything of this material world. So when the mother picks up the child and embraces the child, then the child remembers, "Oh, this is my loving mother," and we forget about the toys. So in the same way, we should learn to cry for Krishna. Or he may so kindly just pick us up, even without us crying for him. But if we cry for him, then surely he will come to us. And there are so many examples of this. The great example of this is Gajendra, who cried out for the Supreme Personality of Godhead in his great distress. and the Lord rushed from Vaikuntha to even though Gajendra was in the dumb body of an elephant, but the Lord rushed to his aid. All the Vedic literature is just to help us understand that our real wealth is Krishna. That's all. And this Vishnu Sahasranama, that also, it's in so many ways just reminding us of the great treasure that we have forgotten. We're looking for wealth, happiness, success, fame, beauty, knowledge, everything that we're looking for is in Krishna. He is that great wealth that we're looking for, but we don't even realize. Now, in this name, Parashurabhata, he's this whole series of names he's giving in connection with Krishna. So he's saying that in this particular occurrence of the name Vasu, Parashurabhata says that this refers to Krishna was residing on the milk ocean, Kshiradakshaya Vishnu, and he took his avatar, came down as Krishna, for the benefit of the world. Shankara, going back to his previous interpretations, that he's the indweller in all beings dwell in him, and that he is one of the eight Vasus. Vasunam Pavakaschasmi. Vasunam Pavakaschasmi. In Bhagavad Gita, Lord Krishna says, he is Pavaka among the Vasus. Shankara gives various interpretations. He is the wealth that he gives himself to his devotees. And another meaning of the word Vasu is that Shankara invokes this one, is that he conceals himself. Now we've been talking about how he gives himself to his devotees, but he also conceals himself from from the non-devotees. Nahang prakasha sarvasya yoga maya samavrita mudho yang na bijanati loko mama jabavyayam. Krishna, who reveals himself to Arjuna, says that I do not reveal myself to everyone. I'm covered by my yoga maya potency, by which people, even though I'm so great, I'm the Supreme Personality of Godhead, but those who are covered by my maya potency, they can't understand me. So Arjuna was there with Krishna, and Bhishma was there on the battlefield. Duryodhana was also there. Duryodhana saw Krishna, Arjuna saw Krishna, but Arjuna actually saw Krishna because he saw him as the Supreme Personality of Godhead. But for Duryodhana, he couldn't see Krishna actually as he is, because Duryodhana saw Krishna as his enemy. So he didn't really see Krishna. But we could say the impression on his eyes was of Krishna, but he couldn't properly see Krishna. He couldn't understand Krishna. He was far, far, even though Duryodhana came right up to the head of Krishna when Krishna was resting, and they both, Duryodhana and Arjuna, came asking Krishna for his help in the battle. Duryodhana came right up to the head of Krishna, which he shouldn't have done, and Arjuna had the good sense to come to Krishna's feet. But even though he's so close, he's so far away, because in between Krishna and Duryodhana, there was the yoga maya potency by which he's deluded as to the actual nature of Krishna. Whereas a devotee, just like Gajendra, he was, of course, Krishna's everywhere, but the Supreme Lord came from Vaikuntha to deliver Gajendra. So we might think we're far, far away from Krishna, but we're very close if we're bonded by love. But for the non-devotees, they can't see him because they're covered, even though they may be very close, but they're covered by the yoga maya potency. In the Madhva line, They give the idea he's Vasu because he's the Antaryami, he's the indweller of all living beings, but particularly here in this context of the eight Vasus. And particular, the Vasu by the name of Dyu, D-Y-U, written in English, he was the one, the last of the eight Vasus who were born from Ganga. The previous seven, upon their birth, she, the goddess Ganga, who had become the wife of Shantanu, she threw the babies into the Ganga. And then the eighth one, Shantanu, restrained her, saying, "You heartless woman, what are you doing?" Not knowing the mystery behind all of this. And then this one of the eighth Vasu, the eighth child of Ganga, he lived and he was Bhishma, and he was the Vasu known as Dyu. And this Vishnu Sahasranama was spoken by who? By Bhishma. But Madhvacharya comments that actually Bhishma is saying, but it's the Supreme Lord himself, Vasu, Vishnu, within the heart of Bhishma, who's inspiring him to speak. So Vishnu Sahasranama is spoken by Vishnu himself in one sense, in the sense that everything is done by him ultimately, and he inspired Bhishma Dev to recite these names, among which is Vishnu Sahasranama. He is Vishnu, he is Krishna before Bhishma, and he is the Vasu, whose this name we're going through now, and he's inspiring Bhishma to recite all these names. One meaning, not explained, he protects Varuna. Then another, he's the Varuna Dev. He's the, another, he is the refuge of all. Ahamatma Gura Kesha Sarva Bhuta Shayastitaha. He is the indweller of all living beings, dwelling within the heart of all living beings, and he is the ultimate shelter and refuge of all living beings. As the place of residence of everything, then everything exists in him, everything comes from him, everything rests in him, everything merges in him. Shri Baladeva Vidyabhushan, he gives the meaning here that the Supreme Lord always resides in his own eternal spiritual abode. Goloka, what is that? Goloka neva satya kila atma bhuta. So he's the indweller in everyone's heart, and he's residing in his own planet in Goloka. So these are two meanings which can go with the name Vasu. And that's all I'm going to say for now. All glories to His Divine Grace Srila Prabhupada. Vancha kalpa tarubhyas chakripa sindhubhyas vichapatitanam pavanebhyo vaishnavebhyo namo namah.